Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep. If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.
Je m'appelle Raymond Lemorne. Je suis sociopathe et claustrophobe.
Parce que mine de rien, c'est devenu une passion. Tu as quelque chose dans la tête.
Si elle est morte, je vais mourir moi aussi.
What's up, guys? It's Katie Hattenbach, and this is Katie Afraidy, a horror movie review podcast where we chat with comedians, actors, filmmakers about what? Scary movies, obviously. It's a silly, ha-ha, goofy time. We shoot the shit, we spoil, we get off topic. But either way, shit's about to get spooky.
Never been on a podcast that had props like this. That's fun.
Thank you so much.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Do you think they're scared? Does it scare? Does anybody comment and be like, that
yes,
shit,
a lot of people are like, Jesus Christ.
Fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm Shane, everybody. What?
Co-host of the Dag Nabbit podcast.
I would say full host.
Full host. Never mind.
I'm the full host.
He's the full host.
And then Cooper does his own thing.
Yeah.
He does his own thing that's in between a co-host and guest.
I like that okay, normally when the smoke happens, it just kind of like lingers. I like that it's now coming from above. That's cool. Good. Awesome. You know what? I don't want to be seen anyways.
Nobody needs to look at our fucking faces.
No.
The fuck would they do that?
That's awful. This is, you know.
I do want to say, though, Cooper is the co-host.
Cooper,
I was just messing
.
Around. I don't want to publicly besmirch his name as co-host.
I am going to just edit it out, so it's just you're saying.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to, you'll edit this a lot. You probably edit this to make me look like I'm saying fucked up shit.
Yeah, that's what I do. I make sure
Is this a gotcha podcast?
It is. I'm going to make you say the most insane things possible.
Yeah.
But before we start diving into the movie, you know, it's a horror podcast, obviously. Are you a horror fan?
Kind of. I mean, it just depends, you know? There'll be periods in my life when I'm just, like, constantly watching horror, especially when I was drinking.
Mm-hmm.
When I was drinking, I'd just be like, oh, good, I'm just gonna put on the most fucked up movie I can find.
Okay, and what would you put on?
You know, like those old cannibal movies, the fucking Cannibal Holocaust mm-hmm. and Cannibal Fero, I think that's how it's said. Those are good ones. Just people, you know, getting ate and horrible things.
Yeah.
Those are fun when you're drinking and then you just need some sort of like feeling. You just want to feel something.
Yeah. And then hopefully you don't start, you know, being like, you know what? I think they're actually onto something.
No, I never thought any of them were onto something. Has anybody come on the podcast and been like, I watched this movie, I thought the villain was onto something?
Not yet. Not
eventually
yet.
This will happen. Eventually. You know, you get enough comedians on here, eventually one will be like, the rape killer was awesome.
I'm just going to cut that part and just...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This will, that'll
got
be the,
him, gotcha.
That'll be the clip for today. That'll be the reel.
And then what was the first horror movie or non-horror movie to scare you?
Is this like a question for bitches? Like, I've never been scared by a horror movie. I've never been scared by a movie in my life.
Fuck yeah.
I've been unsettled, okay. But I ain't never been scared.
You're like, I'm so
brave. Do people come on here and they're like, I'm scared? Like, does that happen?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they'll be like.
There's movies that unsettle me, but more like from an emotional level.
Okay,
like Hereditary, but you know, I'm an older brother, so Hereditary got me. Didn't scare me. Exorcist is pretty like, it's pretty unsettling. Let me think. The ending of the movie we're talking about is pretty fucked.
That's pretty fucked, yeah.
The ending is pretty fucked.
Yeah.
I watched this Japanese movie, Cure, recently.
Okay.
The ending of that's pretty insane. But me, in terms of being scared, no, I don't do that. I don't really get scared.
Hell yeah. Good
I don't really get you. Nervous.
Good for you. Are you... How does that feel?
Just, you know, it's whatever.
Do you not have anxiety at all?
Not social anxiety, no. I don't have any of that.
Good for
you. I get like anxiety while driving. That's the only time though.
Yeah.
A guy will be screaming at me and I don't really get scared or anything.
That's
guy
awesome.
If you're walking in the street, it's like whatever.
They're like,
you're screaming at me.
He's just hanging.
Yeah.
He's just going through it. No, I have social anxiety. Comedy Store, I feel like I am socially. I'm so dumb there. I'm like, I forget how to speak to people. I also...
Well, people want you to feel that way.
Yeah, that's how the store feels. So.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, is that even social anxiety or is that just people trying to isolate you on purpose?
Yeah, probably.
But there's a lot of that.
Probably a little bit of everything.
I try to yell at people when I'm at the store.
That's good.
I will yell. I'll go into the lot. And when I'll go into the lot because I know other comics aren't allowed in the lot, and I'll just be like, "The lot's awesome. You guys aren't allowed here."
Yeah,
that's fun to me. So you know, we're all bullies, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, we're comics. I feel like that's what a comic is. It's just slightly bully.
It's just a schoolyard bully, essentially.
Yeah.
Which you know, I'm fine with. You know,
I
screamed at somebody yesterday. I got really in somebody. I'm an asshole sometimes, but you know,
sometimes you gotta be. You gotta be.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. If somebody's like, we're gonna have to have a talk because you're mean, then I'm gonna be more mean.
Yeah.
You're like, why would the fuck am I gonna give you? What am I gonna be like, oh, I was mean to you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know why you think it's gonna happen.
You deserved it.
He did deserve it.
Okay, well.
He did 100% deserve it. He's a bad guy. But anyway, we got sidetracked.
We got sidetracked, and that's what we do. This is a very
it's a sidetrack podcast,
ADHD friendly podcast. That's how the only way I'm able to consistently do it. But I gave you a list of movies, and you're like, no, I don't even want to see the list. Here are two movies.
Oh, that was a list of movies that I could pick? I thought that was a list of movies that people had already watched.
Mm-mm.
Oh,
but
well, then maybe I should pay attention more. Because you're like, here's a list of movies. I was like, oh, these have probably all been done before.
It's all good. Well, I wanted to do this one. I hadn't seen this, I don't think, in its entirety. I think I've seen clips of it. But we picked The Vanishing.
Yes.
The original 1988 Swedish
and Dutch. I think Dutch.
Dutch and French.
But it's French.
Dutch and French.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in that movie that's weird because you're like, if I understood French and Dutch culture, I feel like I would get more of the points it's making.
Yeah.
Because it's just all in France.
Yeah.
The majority of it's in France, and you're supposed to like be like, oh, these people are culture shocked.
And you're like, no, I don't get it.
I mean, we're Americans. I don't know what's so, why. I don't know why people, is it the idea that France is supposed to be scary and dangerous and the Netherlands is supposed to be badass and safe or something?
I feel like that, yeah.
I feel like that's what they were trying to get at.
Yeah,
that's a lot of bike stuff,
too. The underlying, like, the C-plot of the movie. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that and the bike stuff.
Yeah.
The bike stuff, I guess, there's a big... The transportation seems to be a big theme of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, cars It's a lot of driving. And a lot of,
which you don't like. You don't like driving.
I don't like driving. So maybe this movie scared me because it's a lot of driving.
You're like, I don't.
But the driving, I feel like it's like, I mean, can we spoil the ending already?
You can do whatever you want. But before we spoil, and before we get into that, though, for someone who has never seen this movie before, how would you explain the plot?
Okay, so these two dumb motherfuckers from fucking the Netherlands, they go on a journey to France, or they go on a vacation to France because she has like a house there, and then they go to they run out of gas in this like dark tunnel, and she before that she's telling about this dream she had where she's like in a golden egg. I think they're both in different golden eggs, and they're in solitude. And then he goes and gets the gas from a gas station. He walks, whatever, we can go into what that means later.
Yeah.
And then he goes to this other gas station. Woman gets kidnapped and probably killed. He gets on an obsession. He gets obsessed with it. And then eventually he meets the killer, and the killer's like, let's go for a car ride. I'll show you what happened.
Yeah.
So that's what happens in the movie.
Yeah, so the ending. Let's spoil it. Ready, set, go.
The ending. So at the end of the movie, the guy is like, obviously, you know, he's obsessed with finding out what happened to the woman. And the killer is like, all right, I'll show you what happened, but you got to drink this coffee that I put sleeping pills in. Mm-hmm. And then the guy freaks out, and then eventually he's like, all right, I got to know. So he drinks the coffee, and then he wakes up in a coffin, and he's been buried alive. And he finds out that's how the woman died. She was buried alive.
Yep.
And it's pretty unsettling.
It's so creepy and unsettling. I remember as I was watching it the first time, when it got to the part where he's drinking the coffee, I was like, wait, I've seen only the ending before. I haven't seen the rest of the movie. I don't know what film class or whatever where I saw it, but I was like, oh, I remember this. And then he drinks the coffee and then he ends up in the, I just, being buried alive would be fucking terrifying.
I mean, yeah. It's like the worst way to fucking go, yeah, baby. I mean, you're just, you either suffocate or you starve to death. I don't know. You probably suffocate and die.
They say that you only have 5 hours of air if you don't hyperventilate.
And who says that?
Science? I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
So, but it's like 5 hours of air-ish, allegedly. you know, don't quote me. But if you're laughing or hyperventilating or if you have a flame, that eats up the air faster.
So he did all three.
Yeah, he was going to die probably within like 2 hours.
Lucky guy.
Right?
Lucky. Good for him. Oh, also, the killer has a home that he inherited, I think, from his... Who did he inherit it from?
Oh, was it...
His son? I think it was his grandma or his mom or something?
Yeah.
And
like that.
He's burying the people under the home.
Yeah.
He's burying the motherfuckers under the home. And the last scene is, you know, it just kind of, it shows the, like, grass where they're buried, and then it goes and it shows them and the newspaper, and it shows both their faces, and it's, you know, like the egg thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're both in solitude, you know? And
it's creepy.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up, you know?
I don't even know where I'm going with this. Would you drink the coffee to find out what happened?
I think he drank the coffee because he drank the coffee because he's a punk, really.
Yeah,
they're both punks. Both him and the girl that got killed are both fucking idiots.
Yeah,
I've realized.
I mean,
if
you go back
rewatch.
To even the beginning where, you know, they're out of gas. And he just fucking leaves her. She's looking for a flashlight. He's like, no, we can't go. It's like, just like, give her 2 seconds to find flashlight.
It's already, you know, I guess established that it's like a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know. I mean, the way I read it is that, you know, his whole character just wants to feel like, I don't know about needed, but he wants to have a thing to solve. And he likes her helplessness and kind of feeds off of it. Which I guess in the end kind of gets her killed as her own helplessness and naivete.
Yeah.
But and that's part of why he goes on that whole obsession. He doesn't really give a fuck about her that much. He just wants to have like a quest, you know, and he wants to feel like he's helping. But at the end of the day, he's not. He's a fucking loser.
He has, after, what's her name? It's
Saskia. Yeah, something like that.
After she dies, and it's like the 3-year time jump, Rex, he's got a hot new girlfriend.
That he doesn't give a fuck about.
Doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And she's like, I guess, you know, 8 months, you know, I'll still help you find your, you know, this obsession with, you know, your dead, or we don't know dead yet, but missing girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'll do this for you. But in the end, she's just like, I can't deal with this.
She's going to peace out. Well, at the end of the day, he doesn't really give a fuck about the women in his life. He just wants to feel like he's like a helper. You know,
he should do like Sudoku or something. He needs just something like busy work to do. You know,
he does. Yeah, he doesn't. You know, I guess that's one of the themes. I guess is his like, I guess it's like male and female relationships and power dynamics between that shown through that he likes the power he feels over being like the guy that does shit. Mm-hmm. You know. And so he just kind of, kind of picked a woman that's, to be frank, fucking stupid. Dumb. The scene where she's caught is just played like a comedy. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because the whole time you're just watching it, like, this, she's doing everything you shouldn't do.
Yeah. She's like, I guess I'll follow this man. Yeah. And she...
And everybody else is just like, fuck off. Like, the killer is so bad.
He's so bad. I have secondhand embarrassment watching him.
Yes.
It's like when he's trying to chloroform the one girl and he sneezes into the rag. I literally cringe because I'm like, what are you doing? And it's, I'm not rooting for him if that's terrible to say. But like, I don't know. I'm just like, this is the point. Like, you're supposed to do this because that's your character motivation or whatever. But I'm just like, you're so bad at it. Just quit.
Yeah.
Point your head. But he's like, nah, I'm determined to.
He's determined to do it. You know, it's a tale of determination.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's really interesting him practicing the conversations he's going to have with women.
Oh, yeah.
To be like, oh, no, my trailer. You have to come help me with my trailer. And then be like, oh, here, let me open the door for you. Oh, let me lock the door. Oh, just kidding. I'm going to suffocate you and chloroform you. And he's practicing that. It's, again, like, I mean, I do that occasionally where I'll practice a conversation. Do you do that? You're like, no. Please say yes. I want to kill myself.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes. Thank God. like, you know, like, well, I talk to myself with jokes. Like, I'll talk to myself to hear the, like, the way they come out, the beats and shit. Because, you know, a lot of fucking joke writing is just fucking cadence.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's like how you say something. I guess it's, you know, I guess with any performing art, it's like part of the writing is just cadence and... Yeah. Facial expressions and shit. And so I work on that. I look crazy while driving sometimes because I'll just be just talking to myself. Fucking. I got real mad yesterday because I was like trying to do taxes and I couldn't find my fucking Medi-Cal information. So I was just walking around muttering to myself and I noticed this couple next to me was fucking like, ooh.
And you're like, well, you know what? People stay away from you when you talk to yourself and that's nice.
But we all, you know, if you live in a city for long enough, you'll talk to yourself.
You're
the crazy guy on the street occasionally.
Yeah, I always wear headphones whenever I go places. So I'm not half the time they're not playing anything, so I could just talk to myself freely.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, oh, she's talking to somebody. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm talking to myself.
That's smart.
Yeah, I used to do that in college, but they'd be wired headphones, and then I wouldn't have them plugged into anything.
Okay.
My friends would be like, and I'll be like, oh, I'm jamming. Shh, I'm jamming. You can't say anything. Shh.
Yeah, I'm listening.
This is priority. Yeah. It's so good. I can't hear you. Sorry. Like, you're not.
It's a good way to, if you don't have your headphones with you sometimes when you're walking around, that's for whatever reason, that's meth head, like, signal, like, oh, I'm going to talk to this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
This person doesn't have headphones.
And that's, yeah, that's, I'm, you know, I don't, I grew up partially in Chicago and stuff, so I, you know the people would, you know, talk to whatever, and you know, the subways and trains and shit, and I know to always, you know, like, be quiet to myself, have my headphones in. Yeah. But when you don't, People love chatting. I think I have a face where people just want to chat with me.
At least the only city I've ever lived in where you, like, if you chat with somebody for long enough, eventually it gets violent. Eventually. Because it's like, I was in New York for 2 weeks at the beginning of this month. And so, mm-hmm. and then you can like talk to people and it's fine.
Yeah.
But I talked to a guy while I was smoking a cigarette outside like a couple days ago. And then eventually the guy was like, yeah, I had my ex-girlfriend murdered. And it's like, okay, dude. And then he offered me a cigarette and asked if I played hockey.
Well, do you?
No.
Okay.
I don't know why he assumed two things about me, that I'm fine with murder and I play hockey.
Are you fine with murder?
No, okay. I don't like it. I don't like murder. I'm going to come out on this horror podcast. I'm going to say this. These movies might have murder in them, but I think it's bad.
Hot take.
Violence is bad.
It's so bad. So bad. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I like talking to people, but then you just can't. Yeah. You just can't do it. I like meeting people, but then in Los Angeles, they're like, nah, you're not supposed to meet anybody ever.
You don't talk to people.
You don't talk to you. Just get in your car.
Just,
go on.
Yeah, don't just.
People try to talk to me in my car. I was in my car and I was smoking a cigarette, and this lady was like pointing out all the damage on my car and was like, you know, my brother has all this stuff in his back to fix that. If you want to pull over, I'm like, no, 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 no.
No.
No, I'm good.
Thank you so much for the offer. No.
No, I'm not gonna pull. I'm not gonna pull over on this area where people get robbed all the time.
What do you mean? It's not. But the one time you do, you could get your car fixed.
No, I wouldn't. He wouldn't look at me.
Oh,
she was in the passenger. She was talking to me. He looked. He wouldn't look at me.
Oh my God.
It's like, I know what's going on.
You are smarter than everybody in this movie. Honestly, everybody in this movie is fucking stupid.
They're so dumb. They're fucking idiots. I also think it's funny that every person he talks to, every woman he talks to, assumes he's like trying to fuck. Like, they're like, oh, you must be trying to fuck.
You're trying to. And then the one guy, he was like, or Raymond said to a girl, like, oh, come help me with my trailer or whatever. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll meet you there. And then her boyfriend shows up. And he's what are you trying to do with my wife or something?
No, it's a hitchhiker. He tries to pick up a hitchhiker.
Oh, that and too. And then he pops up. I only pull over for the girl.
Yeah. I only have room for the chick. You know, I don't know. I also think it's weird how he just can't. He can only see things in black and white.
Yeah.
He can only understand.
Is he colorblind?
Yeah. He's morality colorblind. Yeah. because he saves that little girl in the water, and then he's like, well, if I can save a little girl, then it doesn't mean anything if I don't also kill somebody.
Yeah. That's the part where it's like, why were you thinking? I don't know.
This feels like a very French way to think.
Yeah. And also.
French people for some reason, if you read a French book, there'll at least be one point where they're like, actually, murder is the highest art. And you're like, it's not.
You're like, that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it's so odd. I think it's because French people don't deal with murder as much as Americans.
And they're like, no, it's art. It's art. You're like, no.
No, my neighbor killed a homeless guy. I think I'm good. I think I'm good on murder.
Thank you so much for the offer. I think
Yeah.
That's too much with that. There's a, before he jumps in the water, he has like a moment where he's looking down at the water, and there's a flashback that he has where he jumped out as a kid. He jumped out of his room.
He jumped out of his room because he had an intrusive thought and is like, well, I don't want to I don't want to not do it because if I'm not doing it, I'm being controlled by my own brain and by destiny.
Yeah. So he jumps out of his window. He was fine.
Well, whatever. He broke his leg and lost his fingers somehow. I don't know how he lost his fingers.
He broke his hand, I guess, because that's where he got the cast idea.
Oh.
And that's how.
I thought he broke one of his legs.
Because he didn't have the cast originally when he was trying to pick up women. And he's like, oh, this is a sign of weak. I can't show myself being strong. I need to be like, oh, he's weak.
Yeah.
You know, the Ted Bundy. Oh, I'm hurt.
Yeah.
Please help this wounded bird. Just kidding. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
With coffee. Yeah, I guess this is don't drink coffee. That's like the moral.
Don't drink coffee. Don't buy keychains.
Ever.
Don't buy a keychain.
What? So her name is like a stuttering nightmare. So we're going to call her.
S? Could you even say S?
S. I can say S. It's the six, the S-A-S-K. That's not happening.
Sorry I picked a hard movie for you.
No, you're good. How dare you? No, this is my life. This is my life. But she initially wasn't even supposed to interact with Raymond, but she kept like, he was done for the day.
Yeah, after yeah. Well, you see him like smiling. He's just like, he's just like, what's going on?
And she's like, do you have money for coffee? More francs? I want coffee. And then she's like, oh, you have a keychain with an R. My boyfriend. His
name
is
awesome boyfriend who's really cool.
And I love him so much. And he let me drive his car. And I want a keychain for his car.
Yeah.
That starts with R because R and R. So why not? You know, and he's like, I sell keychains. I'm like, that's a very specific thing to sell. Especially our keychains.
Yeah.
It's a very niche market. Love that for you. And she's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to your car. And obviously gets in the car.
Yeah.
She's hesitant, but she sees, you know, the family picture and she's like, oh.
Oh, yeah, it's a family man.
He's a family man. Of course,
yeah,
he's
a family guy.
And then, you know, she gets chloroformed.
She thought he was a family guy, then she ended up in a quagmire.
Cut it. A giggity. poor gal. My question to you is, what would get you in that car?
What would get me in that car?
What is your keychain?
What is my keychain? Let me think about this.
Right?
I was trying to think about what I would buy if I got a bunch of money, and for some reason the first thing that came to mind was like a refrigerator that has the little water, like the water thing.
Okay.
Like you put your cup on the thing and then the water comes out. Cause I never had that.
Okay. Yeah.
We never had the water thing.
Okay.
So somebody had a refrigerator. If they were going to give me that
for free.
Yeah. I'd probably get in the car. But if you ask me what I would do if I was rich, I can't come up with anything.
Yeah.
It's
just
like, I want a good refrigerator.
A good refrigerator? And you know what? That's peak for you.
Yes.
And I love that.
But yeah, if someone's offering me that refrigerator, of course.
Yeah, you're getting in the car.
Yeah. What would it be for you?
Okay, this is the first thing that came to my mind, which is always the correct thing to say out loud. I would say a pig.
A pig.
If you're like, hey, I got a pig, do you want it? And I'll be like, give me
Do you
that.
Want the pig? Like, not do you want to pet the... Do you want the pig?
I want the pig. I want a pet pig.
I guess they say pigs are really smart.
They are very smart. And
I think Winston Churchill had a pig.
Mm-hmm. They're very smart and surprisingly very clean.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But also, if you had a pig, pigs eat bones.
I'm going to have so much fun editing this podcast. Pigs will eat anything, yeah.
So if you put like a body, I saw this in what's this called? CSI?
Yeah.
Or Law and Order.
Yeah.
There's a Law and Order episode. I think there's a Law and Order episode. I think it's SVU where they do they have the pig's mind. They like have the pig narrate.
Babe is the one.
They have like a babe episode, but the pig is being fed bodies.
And he's talking?
Yes. But he's his narration.
What?
I hadn't thought about this in forever.
This is amazing.
I'm going to look this episode
up. You need to look this episode up and send this to me because that sounds absolutely amazing. It sounds like it should be an animated movie, but it's live action, which is even better. Is the pig talking or is it just voiceover?
It's just a voiceover.
Okay. It'd be funnier if you could see his mouth moving.
Wait, let me see. I can't find it. Maybe my brain's... I swear to God I saw a TV show where there was a pig narrating and he ate bodies. If anybody knows this episode, follow me on Instagram and message me to it. Did you find it?
Yeah, it's Law and Order SVU. 5, episode 14. The scene is titled Mean. I mean, maybe this is a different pig-related SVU. But it centers on a bullied student named Angie's who killed her tormentor, leaving the crime scene marked with the phrase, Angie's the pig squealed. This doesn't seem right.
That doesn't seem right either.
Or it is right.
Is my brain making up a fake episode? I swear I saw this in my Nana's couch when I was like...
Are you sure you weren't narrating the pig's voice?
Maybe I was looking at the pig and I was like, this is what the pig would say.
The pig
would be like... I love eating bones. Bones are my favorite thing to eat.
Tasty.
I want to talk about that bike stuff.
Yeah, talk about
what
the bike stuff.
What the fuck's up with that?
What?
Because they always talk about there's like a Grand Prix or something going on, and there's like one bike guy that's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, the Tour de France.
Yeah, I guess that's why they got the bikes on the front.
Yeah.
Like... There's a lot of, like, car and bike stuff in this movie.
Yeah,
the car's, I guess, kind of supposed to be, like, the coffin also.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, I guess, supposed to symbolize, like, the solitude that everybody feels in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, being in your car and not being with people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of driving.
A lot of driving. Which, I don't know if
you... A lot of car problems.
Yeah, these guys need a car. They need a mechanic. They need to figure their cars out and maybe stop, I don't know, killing people. And I think that's bad karma.
Killing people was probably really bad for you.
Yeah.
It's probably
Hot
you
take.
Shouldn't. It's morally, it's bad.
Morally? Killing people? Really bad.
Yeah. You should title that, give that the title of the podcast. Don't kill people.
Don't kill people.
Yeah.
I know it's crazy to think about, guys, but...
But then I guess it's tied into the egg thing, too.
Yeah. And also, the overall, like, soundtrack and, like, sound design, it's very much giving, like, Napoleon Dynamite Pee Wee Herman. It doesn't feel, you know, it is a thriller. It's not, you know, horror is, like, a big blanket, and thriller is, like, a part of it, of the web of horror. But, like, it's not giving... You know, like a classic horror movie soundtrack where you're like, this is a spooky part. It's like, no, there's like rinky dinky moments and it almost feels comedic. Like, with. Like,
I love when a horror movie will like do like something comedic. And then also, it's just like the funny parts make it more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, what's his name? Wes Craven does that very well.
Very, very good. Yeah.
Like, The Last House on the Left with mm-hmm. the like shit with the sheriff. It's just silly, and then it's just, like, the worst thing ever also.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the worst shit ever.
You're like, why are we laughing at Raymond failing at chloroforming this girl because he sneezed?
Yeah.
Like, that's not funny, but to us now, we're like,
it is funny.
Because
we're not in danger.
We're not.
They are. These fictional characters are.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm, you know, now terrified to stop my car ever at any gas station ever.
Yeah, gas stations are spooky, though.
Yeah, I don't...
Did you have a bad gas station where you grew up?
Not really, thankfully, but now, living in LA, it's like everyone I go to is like not...
I went into a gas station last year, and I walked in, and there was a guy who was waving a knife around.
Oh, fun.
He was waving a knife around, threatening to rob the store, but they were behind bulletproof glass. I walked in with another guy. Me and another guy walked in at the same time. Uh-huh. I saw the guy, turned around, walked out. So I drive away. I get a citizen's alert that's like, man stabbed in gas station.
You're like, well, you know what? You're smarter.
He shouldn't have kept walking.
You're smarter than that man.
Yeah.
You have, you know, you are good at that. In Chicago, I was not stabbed. Or not, I wasn't stabbed. But was there was a tunnel connecting two trains. And I, like... The tunnel always freaked me out.
Yeah.
Walked through the tunnel, got up to my dorm, and I got an alert that there was 5 people shot in the tunnel that I was just at. I'm like, wow,
if I
would have walked any slower, I could have been running for my life. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I knew I met 2 people at a bar in Nashville the night they were murdered. Like, they were murdered outside the bar. It closed. And I was like, if I had hung around too long, I would have also been shot execution style.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, It happens.
I'm glad you're here.
Yes, I'm glad I wasn't shot outside of Cobra, the Cobra Bar in East Nashville, formerly known as FUBAR.
FUBAR, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows FUBAR. It's the place to be.
It's where Jordan Jensen started stand-up, I think.
Okay.
That's a fun fact. People don't know Jordan Jensen was a Nashville comedian.
There you go. And I
there's a Chevron near where I grew up that was like a bad... Because people, I think at least twice somebody came in, because it was right near the Greyhound bus station.
Okay, yeah, like those are usually the ones where people.
Yeah. And I think the cashier got knocked off two separate times, like two separate cashiers got fucking shot.
Ooh.
I wasn't allowed to go there for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
There wasn't.
Because you were going to fuck some people up.
Yeah. I also had a gun. So, yeah. They were like, you know, there's actually a 7-Eleven near where I live here,
mm-hmm.
where I guess there was like a couple years back, there was like a guy who was going around 7-Elevens late at night and just shooting people.
Oh, fun.
In LA. And I think it's so funny that the sign they put up is just no backpacks.
No backpacks.
You're not allowed to have a backpack in here.
I mean, yeah, you know what? That's fair. Okay. If you're a grown adult and you're walking around with a backpack, I am slightly, like, more on edge around you.
I guess it just depends, too.
I mean, I wear one because I have, like, my... you should not trust me. You shouldn't. You don't know what's in there. You don't know what's in there.
I was thinking about that with backpacks of, like... Because, like, I carry books around, and I'm, like, I'm just carrying it with my hand.
Yeah.
And it's just, like... Why not just get a backpack that's like shitty and sucks and then just put my book in there and just not have anything else in there? So if it gets stolen, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
It's easy. You know? They're good. They're hot take. I know. Crazy. We're full of hot takes today. Backpacks are good for carrying shit.
Yes. But not good for carrying stuff you don't want stolen.
Correct. Correct. That's
if you don't want something stolen, then maybe you shouldn't take it out a lot of times.
Yeah, don't if take you're it places. Walking. Don't. Yeah, keep it hidden.
Yeah, keep maybe it, do that. I don't know. That's your advice for the week.
Yeah, because that's great advice.
It's great advice. We're kind of being spooky.
It's the realm. It's the realm of spooky. That's what we do.
Talking murder, talking theft. That's spooky. That's real world spookiness.
Well, you know, connecting it back to the movie, Raymond, you know, took our good gal, the gal that she is. So, you know, in a way, she's... something valuable.
So she got stolen.
She got stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got taken. Look at that. Wow. Deep. Anyways.
Do you think part of the reason people watch horror is because it's like, usually, I mean, we all get like shit stolen and shit like that. Like mm-hmm. we all eventually are like victims of crime, but then horror is just like, well, this is the worst thing that happens. So maybe it's not that, you know,
yeah,
your shit doesn't seem so bad. Yeah, your PlayStation getting stolen for heroin doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, you didn't get skinned alive.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, it sucks. Like, they both suck, but one sucks a little bit more, you know?
Oh, shit. Your catalytic converter got stolen? Well, thank God you're not in a spaceship that ended up merging with hell somehow.
And that's huge.
That could happen also.
That could also happen. And you know what? Hopefully they're okay up there. Artemis.
Yeah.
They're doing okay.
Yeah.
They would,
is that their Event Horizon ship? Is it called Artemis?
Oh my God, is it?
What's the Event Horizon ship? I don't
remember the name of it.
It's that's one of my movies I want, like the uncut,
good.
Uncut Event Horizon, I want to see more than anything.
Ooh. Yeah, that movie, I was surprised at how much I actually like that movie.
That's kind of a scary movie. That's kind of a genuinely scary movie.
That is a horror movie. What is it? Is it Artemis?
Lois and Clark.
Oh, so.
Oh. But they said that the scene, so the horror scene everybody talks about where they like show the fucking old ship, the people that are on the old ship, that was apparently a lot longer. And what's interesting is that he cast porn stars in it.
Did he? Oh my God.
Because it was originally, they had to cut a lot of it. Because a lot of the sex stuff and a lot of the violence in that particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that footage is just lost.
And I hate when they do that. Like,
that also happened to Total Recall, as they had to cut a bunch of stuff in Total Recall and it got lost.
Like, keep it. Why do they... How does that happen?
The MPAA.
They're the devil.
They are.
The devil.
The MPAA makes it really hard to adapt books.
Why? That's what we want. We want new stuff, but they're like, oh, it's not, you know, we want known IP. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't want to see Toy Story 7.
Yeah. I want to see an ending of a movie where somebody gets skinned alive on camera. But the MPAA is like, you got to give it a happy ending. It's like, it's not how the novel ended.
Well, I think if you want those movies, you got to go to a weird horror
And then it's shot for $200.
Yeah, but then you're like, why does this look really good? You're like, oh, wait, it's real. Never mind. It's a snuff film.
Yeah. I watched Faces of Death one time while high. I smoked weed and tried to watch Faces of Death. And I put it down after 10 minutes. I've never seen it fully. Put it down because I was like, this is sad.
They remade, or they did a movie. There's a new movie called Faces of Death that's inspired by, it's like an actual killer is trying to recreate the footage from Faces of Death with like actual people.
Yeah.
And it was solid. But yeah, I struggled to get through. I had it on in the background, the original Faces of Death. And I'm like, I can't look at, I know this is all fake, but I can't look at this for longer than like 2 minutes.
I can't do that stuff.
It's
like, I don't like real death. I don't like seeing that. I like the aestheticized stuff a lot. I mean, I tend to go on the fucking, and when I'm watching a movie or something, I'll pick like the darkest shit, but I don't want to see like real death.
Yeah, no.
Oh, you know a movie that actually scared me?
Okay.
Act of Killing.
Okay, I haven't seen
that. It's a documentary, but it's not horror, but it's like a documentary where so the documentary filmmaker, he met a bunch of people in Indonesia who are like part of this genocide, and he makes them like react to their, like, do like short films that are like their crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie, the ending of that movie is like haunting. I paced around outside for like a good 30 minutes after I watched it because it's just really unsettling. But anyway,
it sounds like a nice comedy.
It's pretty funny. There's some funny scenes.
Yeah, that's good.
But
that's good.
Anyway.
I also wanted to add this little tidbit about the actor who played Rex. In order to prepare for his being buried alive, he actually, I don't know if he put himself in a box or if people were helping him, but he put himself in like a coffin-like box and then had people put sandbags on top of it so he could pretend what it was like and like practice his reactions. And I was like, hey, you don't need to do that.
Actors are always like, well, my character gets shot, so I'm going to get shot for real.
It's like, you don't need to do that. Also, wouldn't it be better in the moment when, you know, you're actually in the box to be like, oh, I'm going to panic, you know, whatever is happening. You're like, that's your first reaction is the correct reaction.
Yeah.
Versus overthinking like, oh, I'm going to practice hyperventilating, I guess, in this box. I don't know. I thought that was silly.
Yeah. Like what's her name? Suski. What did she do to prepare? Be like, I've been just talking to random guys and getting in their car.
I've been doing that. It's been great. I've been, you know what? She's always tried to find her, the keychain.
Yeah.
You know, that's been her keychain. Do you have a favorite keychain?
No. I don't have any keychains. I don't even put my library card on there. I don't care.
You have a library card?
Yeah. That's awesome. I go to the library like once every couple days.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I go through books pretty fast.
Fuck yeah. What are you reading right now?
I'm reading this like, this is funny. This is kind of horror-y. I'm reading a book called "You Play the Black and the Red Comes Up." It's like a old like noir novel from like 1938, and I put a hold on it at the library, and I just got it at the library near me. I get it. I thought I was getting like a newer copy. I get a first edition.
Wow!
Like from 1938. It's fucking falling apart.
But cool as hell.
Page 5. There's blood on. There's like drops of blood on the fucking book. It could be anybody's blood. That's what's cool about getting shit from downtown LA library. You could be getting it from a famous guy. This could be famous guy blood. This could be just some guy blood.
And that's
why LA is beautiful.
It's because you really
You know, it could be anybody's blood.
It's in the words of Forrest Gump, life is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. And I got a book with blood in it. Which I did not expect. I never expect to get, like cigarette ad, like
something.
That coffee and
like
shit.
Blood, you're like,
but blood,
oh,
you're like, oh boy. I guess this is the type of book that would have blood on it.
Yeah, but then also the library being like, no, we're going to keep this in circulation for you.
Yeah, well, they got to keep it's kind of weird to keep a first edition in circulation, but I guess people don't really know this novel that much.
Yeah.
So it's
you
like,
have
whatever.
A very distinct taste in like both film and like books, which I find awesome because I feel like, I don't know, I always like to see what people like and what people don't like, and like it's so distinct and it's awesome.
I tend to just focus on, I like classics, I like weird French avant-garde shit, and mm-hmm. I like crime novels. That tends to be what I tend to gravitate towards, like in terms of reading.
Yeah.
I like that fucking, I think old crime novels are good to read as like a person that's ostensibly a writer, because
mm-hmm.
they're very, there's no fat there. It's, poetry's also good for that too.
Yeah.
It's the no fat, just like all emotion and feeling. Like, I think poetry is very good for writing comedy, actually. Like, if you're reading poetry, I feel like I write the best when I'm reading poetry.
Because of the...
just the way it's written. And I feel like...
and stuff?
I feel like joke writing at its best is like you're conveying complicated things very simply.
Mm-hmm.
And... like almost abstractly a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I think both hard boiled shit, which is very like bam, 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 and poetry, which is very like, you know, abstract and fucking all over the place, where you're like, you're taking in an idea without like having it said to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's a lot of stuff I'll think when I'm fucking writing jokes sometimes, where it's like I pick out one small detail of something mm-hmm. I've noticed and then just kind of focus on that.
That's
and then it's like I have a joke about gentrification and about how you can tell when somewhere is being gentrified when the bathroom graffiti stops being funny.
Mm.
And then I have like a punchline there, but it's like I do think that's very true.
Oh, yeah.
You just start seeing like political shit on the bathroom stalls and shit instead of like penises and shit.
Yeah, we want more penises.
Yeah, you know, you live in a bad neighborhood. You do see a lot of penises drawn in public places.
It's more fun too.
It is fun.
Yeah, we don't want to see. I mean, political stuff good, but like you know, like as long as it's good. But
yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Like you know, you can put your little sticker up that says like. Trans rights or human rights or whatever, but I want penises.
Yeah, penises.
Put a penis.
Draw boobs. Do the little, what's the, did you ever draw the six line S in your notebook or whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, I never did that,
okay, but
I've
like
seen
those,
it a bunch.
Put those everywhere.
Those are fun.
Those are very fun. You know,
they used to have the fucking, what's his name, what's the little guy? Gilroy? They're the little Gilroy guy?
Gilroy guy.
That was like a big graffiti thing. You might recognize it if I pull it up.
Yeah, show me.
All right.
Gilroy
guy. We're pulling up Gilroy.
Gilroy guy. As I'm looking. Oh, also, as I'm looking at my notes.
Kilroy.
Kilroy.
It was Kilroy. Kilroy was here. This is like old graffiti.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That
I love
used
him.
To be. That one's not as big as it used to be. It was.
He's
it
fun.
Became popular during World War II.
Oh wow! I like how you're like, do you know this graffiti from World War II? What do you mean you don't know it?
It's everywhere though.
It is everywhere. I feel like I've drawn stuff similar to that, but not exactly that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've ever written stuff on public places. I definitely have. I hate the slurs. I don't like that. I don't like it when people draw slurs.
Slurs are bad.
I see that. I saw that a lot in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Ooh. Someone just write the N-word on the wall, and you're like, all right.
But why? Literally
you just want to hate?
What?
You just want people to feel bad?
For what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
goddamn.
Don't do that. Don't write the N-word on the wall.
Don't do that.
Yeah,
don't
that's another a bit of lesson from today.
That's what we do here at Katie O'Frady.
Yeah.
As we're starting to, like, you know, wind down, is there anything else from your notes that we had?
I didn't even look at my notes.
We've honestly done a pretty good job. I haven't checked mine either.
My notes are very weird because I watched this on mushrooms.
And how was that?
I like watching movies on mushrooms. I don't go too hard on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you feel more present with it.
Okay.
Let's see.
I know that the director...
I wrote that understanding is a sin.
Yeah, I think it's better not knowing than to know, and knowing is sometimes a bigger burden than not knowing, because...
Well, it's kind of a movie about, like, the idea of the enticement of forbidden knowledge.
Yeah.
And that how that kind of kills your ass. Biblical theme.
Curiosity killed the cat. You know, that old saying. But the director, he was very hoity-toity and was like, Rex and his girlfriend who went missing, their love is like Romeo and Juliet.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't know about that. I don't think so at all, but...
I wrote that it's interesting how Raymond has an entire life and backstory, but Rex doesn't. That's something I wrote down.
Okay, yeah.
Like, they give all this background to Raymond. Like, he has a family, his wife and kids. There's some really disturbing moments with his wife and kids.
Yeah.
Like, he makes them scream at one point just to see if... Like, it seems like a bit, and then he has them scream just to see if anybody would notice the people screaming from underground.
Yeah, and then he talks to his neighbor. He's like, oh, yeah, did you hear us screaming?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His neighbor goes, no, I didn't. And he smiles.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I watched it twice, and I missed all that stuff the first time around. I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the, and I do like how they kind of, like, you know from the beginning that Raymond is the guy. But you're like, is he? Are we just following him? Why are we following him? But you start to, like, see, oh, he has a life at home. And it's also,
you see,
like,
him, like, he's a professor. You see him doing that. You see him doing that. And it kind of shows his cold way of operating through the test. Very cold.
Mm-hmm.
He's very cold, but you almost wouldn't know it if you didn't know he was a killer.
Yeah, and, like... him interacting with his daughters, and it's just, he's like, he seems like a good dad, but like,
and then he grabs her yes, and to see
in the way that he was practicing chloroforming somebody, but instead he grabs her nose,
yeah,
and she's like, well, why did you do that?
And then she asks him if he has he's having an affair, and he like just smiles at that because he's like, nobody's gonna know what I'm actually planning. They think I'm just getting pussy. I guess there is a. I wrote this in my notes that it's a possible critique of libertine sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, nobody really. Everybody just thinks Raymond's trying to fuck.
Yeah.
Nobody like.
Assumes
nobody
that
considered,
he's a killer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you have those glasses he wears, he looks pretty derpy.
He does.
With his glasses.
And he has like a. His mouth is very. He has a very silly mouth.
Yeah, he just looks like a silly man.
Yes.
And, I mean, he's honestly the most awkward killer, I don't want to say in cinema history, but in the history, yeah, he's very...
Of anything I've seen, he's the dumbest fucker.
He's really awkward.
Yeah. It feels pretty real.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, a guy like that, I feel like serial killers are probably like that, of just being like... There's a little bit of a, like, there's something off.
Yeah. And
but they're not necessarily, like, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, and...
But it's funny when people that are killers, but they aren't serial killers, you know pretty quickly.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I can tell you've killed people. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But they're not serial killers. They just kind of almost stumbled into it or had to do it.
Yeah.
Or they felt just, like they had to.
Yeah, it was just the one-off real quick.
But a serial killer, it seems like, in media is just like a... off. He's just off, but he's not like off, vaguely charismatic.
Yeah. There's just something
Something about different. His humanity has been eroded. There's people whose humanity's been eroded. This guy just didn't have any.
Yeah, he had literally zero. And the moment where he is with his daughters and he's watching the news and you can hear Rex, you know, spiraling on TV, they don't show it, but it's a close-up on their faces, like him and his daughter. And the daughter goes, "Oh, Dad, it's us. We're on TV."
Yeah, yeah.
Almost to like, and then we don't see it, but it's just Rex. But then the different shot, it shows the whole image.
Yeah.
And you can see Raymond and his daughter's like running in the background.
Yeah.
It's like everything. She called it out.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, "Oh,
And it's never commented when they're at the cafe, Rex and his new girlfriend name starts with an L, and he's just in the background.
Oh, I can't even. There's no way in hell I can ever say that.
Say what?
Her name. That sounds like a stuttering nightmare.
Oh, Lenicky?
Yeah.
They're just sitting in the cafe and then he's just behind them.
Yeah, just chilling, but yeah, again, yeah. Not
But then
in
he
focus.
Kind of remembers it.
Yeah, and he's like, I took a Polaroid of you. I did all this. And he's like, you don't really have any proof, so you might as well drink the coffee.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he kind of almost, Raymond almost kind of lucked his way into just.
Yeah, everything kind of fell in his lap. You're just, I feel like people, I mean,
he'll eventually get caught.
Oh, totally.
He's too much of a fucking dumbass to not, but, you know.
Yeah, he's done it twice. You know, is he going to try to do it a third time or is he done?
I think the implication of the ending is that he's like, oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Like, I think the first time he just wanted to see what it was, what it was like, but then the second time it seems like he liked it.
Yeah, he just was so casual about it, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. It could be anybody. You never know who you're hanging out with that you're like, you know.
I mean,
you're like, someone could have an affair, or they could be murdering a bunch of people.
I feel like murder is a lot less likely, or at least serial killing is not very, it's super uncommon. But like, the idea of somebody you're around just being at least being a monster, it's like, yeah, I mean, there's people I talk to every single day that have definitely done really awful things.
Yep, it's LA and comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm scared for my life all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people that are most likely complete pieces of shit, yeah. But it's like, what are you gonna do, you know? Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I'm going to offer them a keychain. Come to my car. See what
happens. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You offer them a keychain.
Yeah.
Then you bury them alive.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, hell yeah. And I'm like, yeah. I might.
But, well, yeah, it's kind of feminine. Like, if a woman killed somebody, it's kind of feminist, if you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
You're kind of taking it back a little bit.
Yeah, so I don't.
So what we'll see next week, if somebody ends up buried alive in the LA area, probably you have an idea who did it.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe. You'll never know. I'll never say. Teehee. Maybe. So out of 10, how would you rank The Vanishing?
I don't know, 9.5.
9.5. Why?
I just really like it.
Yeah.
I like how it makes me feel. That's really all. As I like how it makes you feel, and I like feeling bad. So, you know, I like a movie that makes me feel bad.
Shane, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's just like, what is it, catharsis?
Yeah, okay.
It's cathartic, you know?
Yeah, buddy. You're doing great.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Great. I gave it a 7.5. I'm also a harsh critic of movies, but...
I'm not.
It's okay. I liked it. It was fun. Anything over a 5 is considered good in my book. So 7.5.
What's the highest you've ranked something? Rated?
A 10.
10? But like what? Have you ranked multiple movies a 10 or like?
I've only given 2 movies a 10 on the Katie Afraidy.
Okay. Which ones?
Ready or Not. That movie. And then what else did I give a 10? It might have been a pity 10 out of 10. Because it is my favorite movie and everyone hates the movie, but it's Troll 2.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I gave it a 10 out of 10 just out of spite because I'm like, no, this is amazing.
I've never seen that. I've never seen either of those.
They're not the same. They're not connected.
I know.
But Troll 2 is great. It's its own thing. I think it's on Tubi, so.
I'm not a bad movie guy for the most part.
Yeah.
I like reading about Ed Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Wood's an interesting character.
Yeah.
His building, I looked up where he lived.
Okay.
On Hollywood Boulevard, and it still looks awful.
Really?
Like, because he lived in, like, he lived in, was it Yucca Corridor? Back when that was, like, the slum.
Okay.
That was, like, the slum of Hollywood. And I remember there would just be murders outside his building, like, almost every day.
Oh, my God. This is a murder podcast.
Yeah, it kind of is. But I looked up the building he lived in, and it looks like shit. Like, it's still there, and it looks fucking awful.
They did not keep it up at all.
No, no.
Probably because of all the murder.
Probably.
But I feel like that would help. I don't know. Maybe.
They fixed up that neighborhood, I think, in the early 2000s.
Okay. And they said, nah, I don't want to do this building, though.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's not still there, but I definitely looked up a picture of it.
Yeah.
Because I think a couple other, like, old Hollywood writers used to live there, like the more poor ones.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still like, in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You're still on Hollywood Boulevard.
I mean, Hollywood's gross.
Hollywood's pretty nasty.
There's poop everywhere.
It is weird. It's a very strange place.
Yeah.
I took my mom and my nana to Hollywood Boulevard, and they're, like, they should know better, but they were just walking so slow. And so I called an Uber just because I was like, if you're going to walk so slow, something will happen.
Yeah, yeah. Someone's going to talk to us. Someone's going to try to sell you something. Someone's going to try to pull you in. Scientology.
Yeah.
You can't walk slow near them. You got to keep moving.
My nana did like somebody tried to sell her CD and was just like, just ignored it. But yeah. My mom would have stayed. I don't understand why. I don't know why. I mean, they're fucking... They should know better.
Street smart versus, like, it's hard. My mom, whenever she would come up to Chicago, we are very Midwest people. She's the sweetest woman ever. She will talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And she'll smile. Hi, how are you? Good. Oh, my gosh. Hi. We were on a train in Chicago, and she's just talking to everybody and talking to every person on the street. I'm like, you cannot do this. She did it in L.A., too. I'm like, stop doing this.
Yeah.
You can't do that. She says, stop trying to control me. I'm like, no. I'm trying to keep you safe. You're in my wheelhouse now. This is how, especially as women, we can't talk to people. I'm sorry. It sucks.
Yeah, yeah. It is weird because it's like, it feels like our parents grew up in an era that was a lot more dangerous. I mean, my mom grew up in fucking, like, inner city Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you should be walking faster. Like, you should.
You should know, but they just don't. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Are we done?
We are almost done. So I ask this silly thing after every, you know, movie. Were you afraidy or not afraidy of The Vanishing?
I don't know how to answer that. I'll say afraidy, just, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just more like, this is dark than I was afraid.
Yeah. It's a spook.
It's a spooky movie.
It's a spooky movie. It's a spooky movie. I would say I wasn't afraidy the first round, and then the more I thought about them, I'm like, no, this is like a real thing that can happen at rest stops and shit about. And I'm like, oh yeah, my mom has always said, just, you know, if you're in a rest stop, make it quick.
Yeah.
Don't get in and out. Don't talk to people. Just get in and out.
Yeah.
So, this is the part of the show where you promote your stuff.
Plug
yourself to the camera.
Oh, okay. So, all right, couple things. I have a couple, like, 20-minute short mini specials on YouTube you could check out. I have a podcast called Dagnabbit Boys, hosted with Comedy Store paid regular, youngest Comedy Store paid regular, Cooper Leiden. Not a single person younger than him that's passed right now.
Fuck yeah.
I'd be headlining... Me and Cooper will be headlining Chatterbox in Covina on May 3rd, I believe.
Fuck yeah.
And we'll be headlining at Mic Drop in San Diego on May 7th. So if you're in the San Gabriel Valley or San Diego, try to get tickets to that. Or if you're not, just buy tickets anyway.
Yeah, why not?
Just buy tickets. You know what? I need the money. I'm not doing good. Think because I'm on some fancy podcast, I'm doing good. I'm doing terrible. So, and we're all doing it. Send money.
Send money.
We're all doing bad here.
We're all doing
bad
here.
It's not a great time to live in Los Angeles.
We're so poor. On that note, join the Patreon. Also, Katie Frady Patreon. Follow us on YouTube, Katie Frady, Instagram, Katie Frady, all that jazz. You know the drill. Leave a review if you feel like it. That'd be awesome. 5 stars if you were like, this
five,
is really
five
cool.
Star, do 5 stars. 5 stars. Say I'm a 5-star guest.
Be like, wow, Shane was really fucking good. 5 stars. 6 stars. Do it. Why not? And finally, to end the show, we like to give good or bad advice regarding the movie. And I usually don't think about it till this very moment.
Oh, we got to give advice about the movie. Like
from the movie. Yeah.
From the movie.
So I guess the biggest advice I would have is don't get into strangers' cars. And if he's a blonde man, run.
Okay. Advice. If you're dating somebody, make sure you're gonna date them for them and not because of how they make you feel, I guess. Because, you know, then you'll be on some wild shit and you'll love the idea of them. And that's not good. So don't do that.
Don't
just date somebody because you want them, you want to help them or something.
Yeah.
Go like them. Because if not, maybe she'll get kidnapped and buried underground, and then you will. So think about that.
On that note, guys, we will see you next time. Stay afraidy.
Yeah, see you around.
We would like to give a huge thanks to a few of our sponsors. Film Craft Studio Gear, where you can get any gear you're looking for all production needs. Go to filmcraftla.com, or you can find them at filmcraftla on Instagram. And of course, a big shout out to Fangoria. Want a copy of a Fangoria magazine? Use code KatieAfraidy25 for 25% off. KatieAfraidy25 for 25% off.
Were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.